Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking an old cassette tape recording and turning it into something that sounds louder, cleaner, crispier, and way more usable inside a drum and bass track. And I want to be clear right away, we are not trying to erase the tape vibe. That hiss, wobble, and dusty texture can be absolute gold indeed and be. The goal is to remove the junk that gets in the way, keep the character that gives it life, and shape it so it can actually cut through a fast, heavy mix. So whether you're building a spooky intro, a spoken word breakdown, a jungle-style hook, or a dark atmospheric layer, this process is all about making that cassette sample work like a proper production element. Let's jump in. First, drag your cassette recording into an audio track in Ableton Live. Before you add any effects, just listen to it by itself and ask a few simple questions. Is it too quiet? Is the hiss constant and annoying? Is the useful part buried? Is there low rumble or mud sitting underneath everything? Now, before anything else, set the level properly. This is a big beginner mistake people make all the time. They hear something quiet and immediately turn it up, but that also turns up the hiss, the noise, and the problems. Instead, use the clip gain or track volume and get the sample peaking somewhere around -12 to -6 dB before processing. That gives you headroom, which means your plugins behave more predictably and you're less likely to create harsh clipping later. A good habit here is to loop the most useful section of the cassette. Maybe it's one phrase, one vocal line, or one atmosphere hit. You want to focus on the part you'll actually use in the track. Next, clean up the low end with EQ8. Old cassette recordings often have rumble, hum, or mechanical noise down low, and in drum and bass that space is sacred. Your kick and sub need that area to stay clean. So drop in EQ8 and use a high-pass filter. Start somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz. Depending on the source. If it's a voice or an atmospheric sample, you can usually cut more. If it has some body you want to preserve, go a little gentler. If there's obvious mains hum, you can also sweep a narrow cut around 50 or 60 Hz and maybe some of the harmonics above that. The key here is not to overdo it. You want to remove the junk, not thin the sample out so much that it loses its weight. Always think about how it will sit with drums and bass, because in DNB the bass line owns the low end. The sample usually doesn't need to. Now let's deal with noise. Cassette hiss can actually be part of the vibe, but if it's loud and constant, it can start to dominate the mix. For a beginner-friendly workflow, you can use either a gate or simple volume automation. If you use gate, place it after EQ8 and set the threshold so it closes during silent parts, but still opens naturally when the useful phrase plays. Keep the release fairly smooth, maybe around 100 to 300 milliseconds, so it doesn't sound chopped or robotic. And don't try to remove every last bit of hiss. A little bit of texture is good. If the recording is simple, volume automation is often the better first move. Just draw the level down in the gaps and leave the character in the actual phrase. Fade the ends cleanly, that's often enough. Now that the low junk and silence are under control, shape the tone for clarity. This is where we make the sample easier to understand in a busy mix. Use another EQ8 if you want, or keep working on the same one carefully. If it sounds muddy, try a small cut somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz. If the voice or melody needs more presence, add a gentle boost around 2 to 5 kHz. If it feels dull, a slight high shelf around 8 to 10 kHz can help open it up. The important word here is gentle. Tape recordings usually respond better to small moves than huge ones. If you boost the top and the hiss gets too obvious, back off. In that case, it's often better to use saturation and compression to bring detail forward in a smoother way. Now let's make the sample louder and more even with compression. Old recordings often have uneven levels. One word disappears, the next one jumps out. Compression helps glue that together. Add a compressor after the EQ and start with a ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Keep the attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds so the front of the sound stays natural, and set the release somewhere around 80 to 200 milliseconds. Lower the threshold until you see maybe 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. That's the sweet spot for this kind of cleanup. You want control, not punishment. If you crush it too hard, the sample loses its emotion and starts sounding flat, but a moderate amount of compression helps it sit solidly against fast drums and a heavy bass line. After compression, add saturator. This is where we give the sample some density, weight, and perceived loudness. A little drive can make old audio feel more present and alive. Try somewhere around 2 to 6 dB of drive, and use soft clipping if needed. Watch your output level so you're not just making it louder by accident. The goal is not maximum volume. The goal is more presence and more harmonic energy. This can be especially useful in drum and bass because the genre often likes a bit of grit. A cassette sample with a little saturation can sit beautifully over drums, breakbeats, and re-space without needing to be huge. If the recording is really uneven, you can bring in multi-band dynamics, but keep it very subtle. Use it only if one part is too boomy, another part is too harsh, or the upper mids are getting painful. Don't go heavy here as a beginner. Most of the time, EQ, compression, and saturation will get you most of the way there. Now here's the big teacher note. Don't mix this sample and solo and call it done. Bring it into a drum and bass loop early. Put it against a kick, snare, hats, and bass. Listen in context. Ask yourself, can I still understand the sample? Is it fighting the snare crack? Is it masking the sub? Does it leave space for the groove? This is where the real decisions happen. A sample might sound fine alone, but once the breakbeat and bassline enter, all the problems show up. That's why DNB cleanup is really about arrangement awareness, not just audio repair. A really useful workflow is to make the cassette sample part of an 8-bar intro. Let it breathe alone for a moment, then gradually bring the drums in. You can chop it before the drop, repeat a short phrase in the breakdown, or let it sit as a textured background element under the groove. At this point, you can also add a little reverb or echo if you want more space. Keep it controlled. A short reverb can make the sample feel like it exists in a room. An echo can give it a dubby or jungle-style tail. But be careful not to blur the intelligibility. For reverb, a decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds is a solid starting point. For echo, try a modest feedback amount, maybe 15 to 35%. The point is to enhance the atmosphere, not smear the phrase into mush. And once it sounds good, resample it. This is one of the best workflows in Ableton for drum and bass sound design. Set up a new audio track with resampling as the input, record the process chain, and then treat that new recording like a fresh instrument. You can chop it, reverse pieces, layer it, or use tiny fragments for transitions. This is huge. Once you print the result, you stop thinking like you're just cleaning audio and start thinking like you're designing usable material. Now for the final loudness pass. Add utility at the end if you need quick output control. Use it to fine-tune the level and keep the signal where it needs to sit in the mix. If the sample is stereo and it's crowding the center, you can even narrow it a bit so your kick, snare, and sub stay solid in the middle. And here's the real target. Make the sample feel more present without just making it louder on the meter. If it sounds clearer at the same perceived loudness, you've done the job right. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't boost the volume before cleaning the sample. Don't cut so much low end that it becomes thin and weak. Don't try to remove every bit of hiss. Don't overcompress until it sounds dead. And don't forget to keep checking it against the drums and bass. If you want to go a step further, think in layers. Make one version that's cleaner and more intelligible, and another that's grittier and more atmospheric. Blend them together. That gives you the best of both worlds, clarity and mood. You can also get creative with arrangement. Start the sample dry in the intro, add space in the breakdown, chop it in the build, and pull it back under the drums in the drop. Use automation to open the filter over time. Reverse a tail into a snare fill. Slice a phrase into a rhythmic hook. These are all classic drum and bass moves. So let's recap the process. First, set the clip gain properly so you've got headroom. Then clean the low end with EQ. Control hiss gently with a gate or volume automation. Shape the mids and highs for clarity. Use compression for evenness. Add a little saturation for presence and grit. Test everything against drums and bass. Then resample the best version so you can chop it and use it creatively in the arrangement. That's the whole mindset here. Keep the character, remove the clutter, and make the cassette sample work in a fast, heavy DNB mix. Do that well, and an old dusty tape recording can become a killer intro, a moody breakdown hook, or a dark atmospheric layer that gives your track real identity. Alright, go grab a cassette sample, clean it up, and make it hit.